I'm calling Wolf Creek.
Teams,
you know,
teams, 15 agencies.
Right. Well, Steph, just to look at your idea to pull apart the CodeAware tag data, it's kind of serendipitous thing. So John asked her to provide all the CodeAware tag data by pond for many years, where ponds did.
That's a great idea.
Because, I mean, you could put there's mud coming down.
We've almost done the experiment already.
You can see where Caldwell Creek is in the clean water.
At a time.
You guys over there don't get Caldwell Creek.
No, it's a great idea.
So it should tell us something.
That never happened. But across that many years, there might be a signal there where there's a tendency for higher attraction rate of the hatchery. Or rejection of the hatchery.
Right. Yeah.
Spawning grounds are okay.
Yeah. I can't figure out why they haven't always used
potato on the range. It goes back.
They got the capability to do it. They have just never thought
that. The best data we have is
always
about 2,000
diluted. And I don't know what the percentage is. There's probably some in there. But they can pipe just straight Cogswell.
I'm not charging you guys anything for that.
God, I hope not.
Stay up late at night working on that stuff.
Dear researchers.
All right.
Somebody's got to
go ahead and get officially started here. In the room, we've got Tammy Mackey, John Thorpe, myself, Andy Traylor, Cam Sharp, Walker, and Greg Taylor. Anybody else on the phone? I got Rich Paskowski earlier.
This is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you? Anybody else on the phone?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Mark Thompson.
Hello, Mark.
He's actually getting some fish, I think.
Hello.
Anybody else?
50, so they're finally getting a little bit more.
All right, great. Go ahead and get it rolling here. First on the agenda is the May HMT minutes. We've got several edits to those minutes. Very timely this time around.
Guilty.
We appreciate. There was a few more changes that came in.
We can approve them at this meeting if you want.
Okay, great. Yeah, unless anybody else had any other comments. Great.
Hey, Andy, Rich, your question. So for today's agenda, just wanted to confirm what things are going to be covered. It looks like you still have tentative on the cougar trap box, and I might drop off if that's not going to be discussed.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and say that without any other further changes, the May minutes are approved. So I put that on the agenda. I know Lance couldn't be here today. Bernadette couldn't be here. I think Jeff Ziller was the other one that was working with Rich on that. And Rich provided a whole bunch of comments and concerns that the Corps had. It sounds like Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, but a written response is what you requested to those comments?
Yeah, discussion and then written. Yeah, we want to document that.
Yeah.
Our response, that would be what we'd like to see.
So I suppose we could discuss it here if there's any value in that, but if it's a written response, then
I'm not sure we have the players that are...
Yeah,
we don't have Jeff here, we don't have Lance here, we don't have Bernadette here. We could talk all day, but what does that mean?
No.
Hey, how about the disposition, the North Indiana disposition? A lot of key players are absent on that one. Is that going to be discussed today?
I feel like I'm a key player on that. Come on, Rich. I'd like to just update what's going on.
Yeah, I think it will, Rich.
I'm back, young man. We know what's going on.
How about the rationale? I think there was going to be a written rationale kind of this year's disposition from the district buyout.
Yes. Yeah, Elise was going to try to provide that. And so far, I haven't seen anything.
She's working on it. She's close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that check-in. I'll go ahead and drop off since there's not going to be a cougar discussion.
All right, see you, Rich.
All right, thanks, Rich.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. Back to action items. And the first one is the Nortanium pedigree study, the action to Elise to distribute that document. I heard that it's in draft. And
right, Elise is working on it. She got technical comments from Tom, myself, Mark.
Great.
And to bang it on the draft should happen really fast. I mean, I imagine, but we've already moved forward on things we knew had to happen.
Yeah, we've got that coming back already.
We got fish up in Horn Creek on Clipfish, and tentatively settled on how many are going to go in there, and how many are going up the Bright Bush, and where. It's a weird thing, because this is such a strange year in the reservoir, that our options that we've been saying, well, these are going to be our options, don't exist now. The reservoir is so low.
Like the barrier at Hoover Falls.
Right. And yeah. How about the islands? It's not an island anymore. It's a peninsula. Yeah. So, anyway, at least it's figuring it out for this year, specifically this year's operation, and then with everything returning to normal next year, right?
Of course. Yeah. Right. We're going to hit the reset button.
Anyway, pretty exciting, though. Fish went into Horn Creek pretty well, but the weir is in place.
25 pairs
of fish. We only had 11 females and 18 males in the pond. So.
Okay. But that's the goal, is 25 pair?
Preliminary goal is 25 pair. Could go to 50 pair, but because I think that's what could handle, but that's a call for release to make.
Sure.
And the Bright Bush site got outplanted with hatchery origin fish. The hippies really loved
it. Are they okay with that?
They loved it.
Oh, yeah, really?
They,
cool.
They were so excited to see it happen. So that's going to happen again. And
they have the drum circle this time?
You know, I didn't go. I sent crews up there, strongbacks, weak points, because what had to happen is they had to muscle this thing into place.
Was that enough?
Strongbacks?
No, these are my people. I love them, man.
Yeah, Tammy gets every word.
You gotta really be cautious what you say.
Yeah, well, no,
we're
great job.
Later.
You'll get an update from Greg on exactly what happened. That's awesome. And
I'll drop off. I don't have any more to say. So.
That's not even true. And then Tom Friesen did a routine recon, and he thinks he's found a decent, accessible outplant site near Cooper's Ridge.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That's close to the water. Will require a little bit of work, but he's going to adopt what I think of as the Little Fall Creek model, where they have a gentle grade but a long distance. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got one big section of flex hose at the hatchery, and I'd like to piece it together with some non-flexible smooth bore, the black plastic stuff.
Yeah.
And run it 50 feet out to a nice pool. The flex hose will let us make the bit from where you get the truck down. You have to make a bend in the hose to get it aimed at the pool. Very gentle bend.
That's the pull-up river, actually, where the truck will be. So.
And then piece it together. It'll all just go in there temporarily on the back of the pickup truck. Let them go. Pull back up. Stick it in the truck and go away.
Is this the Frera site we're looking at, Greg?
No, this is below it, but
okay.
In my update, I'll talk with my meeting with Ferris yesterday.
Okay, cool, thanks.
If you put your truck down that road?
First, we have to find out who owns the road. There will have to be tree removal.
Branch removal.
There's actually two trees that we'll have to remove to be able to get the truck through there with the width of the truck. We went out and measured yesterday. There's also a leaner that would have to be removed. And I think I found a better spot.
Okay.
It's on the table, but I think, I'll talk in my thing. We found two spots on Ferris land that I think will be easier and better.
Great. That's good to hear.
Tom was so excited. He found a spot.
Cool. All right. Any idea on the timeline for when we'll see that, like end of the week for the
thing
for my Elise?
Basically nothing else. Oh, for Elise?
Yeah.
Up to her, but yeah, I couldn't imagine it's going to take that much longer.
All right. Maybe I'll check in with her. Let's see. Action item 2.3, Beaver Dam repairs. The action was to me to draft up some kind of coordination form regarding what's going on there. With UWIP, and I did talk with Lisa McLaughlin, and she was happy to provide some extra information. She's still getting that to me on what exactly is going on there, but she's going to help me fill out that form and then distribute to the group. She, I guess, has been reading through the last couple HMT minutes, and she was like, yeah, the information that's in there is not exactly accurate, so we'll be happy to set the record straight. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
So that's good, because we were worried. We were pretty pessimistic, which means it's...
Well,
we were overly pessimistic.
Well, she didn't necessarily say that we would be able to influence what goes on as far as the construction or repairs of Lever, but she was happy to provide some of the details about what's going to go on and when and how that might affect fish.
Okay.
Is that...
I think Cam was just wondering if...
Oh, can I get water on River Left?
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yes. And we may have that flexibility, too.
Okay.
But she's going to get back to me hopefully soon, so we should have that before the next HMT. And I'll send that out as soon as I get it compiled. We can get comments back quick, so we can actually turn it around in a timely manner.
And you know they're closing the dam for road
traffic.
Yeah,
that's, I know it's been kind of intermittent.
29th of June, I think, was what Eric sent me that they got from the engineers. Until then, they'll be messing around, but 29th through whenever they get done in the fall, it's going to be the same thing. Before 8, then it'll be open for an hour at noon, and then closed till 4, I think, the afternoon. So just be forewarned if you think you're going to go up.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, we've just got July 1st, we're starting the two EBAs to do the video. Hogan doesn't quite know how we're going to do that. I think it means the EBAs have to go across before 8, they hang out there until noon, and come back across.
Well, there's another way in, you know.
I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Haul the fish?
Well, yeah, that's what we were hauling fish out before.
Hauling fish the back way?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We got over the top.
Okay.
It's just a gravel road. Log trucks go up that stuff all the time.
I don't know.
You know.
Okay. These are kids fresh out of college.
Well, I told me you talked about them earlier today. So.
All right. The next one is delayed outplanting. And Cam, you said that a soft plant would be available for the June HMT meeting.
That was wrong. So I can't get together with Chris Cadill is coming to town on the week of the 26th, I think, and we're going to sit down for a day and a half with that and thrash out a number of things that we got going on with Chinook Life History Database, the outline plan, and I would like to at least start thinking about whether this is a year we would want to try to get some of their radio tags in Detroit fish, which wasn't in the original plan, but then the original plans last year did not include outlining wild fish above Detroit.
Right.
So do we find a way to move a year ahead to get some bird information, or is it just such a strange year? This is what we've been talking about. Is it such a strange year you don't want to know what happens this year because you don't think it's going to happen again? Or is this the first year of many of these and we really need to know what's going to be happening under these conditions? I don't know what the answer is, but Kristen and I
had counted me towards the latter.
Do
this year might be more representative of what we see in the future.
Okay. Because that, I mean, we've gone through the exercise before of getting permission to stick tags and wild fish at the very last minute. And, I mean, we've done it.
It's a hassle.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of, like, in fact, we get blowback from ourselves.
Right.
The different water teams start complaining about not being informed ahead of time. When, I'm sorry, we didn't know what was going to happen. And this is a very new, novel situation. So we'll talk about it. Well, what do you think offhand? You just suggested you think this might be a good year to start learning something about.
I don't know, with the way that seems climate and ocean conditions and snowpack and everything seems to be going, I would be inclined to say that this year might be more representative of what we see in the future. If we have a chance to get some data about how fish are going to react in these types of years, or at least how our operations would impact them, I'd say that being beneficial. That's where I would lean. I don't know. What do you think, guys?
I'm praying to God we don't see more years like this. But
sure, yeah.
But, I mean, if you had information, then, you know, there will be years again where the weather conditions will be like this. You would already know what was going to happen. Maybe different than a normal year. But you would know ahead of time what was about to happen.
Yeah.
And I think just the idea of what the wild fish are going to do in general, irregardless of the type of year we're having. You know, I think we want to start. Because at Detroit, that's potentially complex, right, versus some of the other locations. So I think that question just in and of itself is worth going down that path, no matter what kind of year we're having.
Well, it's kind of original stream, but the soft plan we talked about was to put fish in canes because it's easy for them to hang a left to go to the right bush and hang a right to go to the north end. It's not there anymore. And there's a great, big, long peninsula now. So one way or the other, they have to back all the way down the reservoir and then come up the other arm. How would they know to do that? I don't know. Yeah. How do they know to do something so complex? Because it's not like they're sensing anything from the North San Diego when they're up by the mouth of the Brighton.
So you put them, I mean, you're thinking, would we put them down reservoir?
Yeah, so what was originally proposed was Mongold, yeah, which is the only one that reaches the reservoir. But Tom went out, and Greg went out to temperatures, and based on the temperatures of the dam and temperatures of the surface at Mongold, there's a huge 20 plus degree temperature differential between the water that goes into the trucks at Minto and the water at the surface.
Sure.
And then Tom went and did the, I guess it's the temperature string at the face of the dam, and then made the assumption that upstream at Mongol the profile would be about the same. And then his estimate was that the fish would have to sound 60 feet to get to 52 degree water, mm-hmm, which is 6 degrees warmer than what's in the truck, which is kind of, except it's less than 10 degrees, so that's probably okay. But still, 60 feet down, we don't even know how far out that is or how long it would take for the fish to do that. And none of us would agree that we would... I don't think we're allowed to put fish into water with that much of a temperature differential. Do we have rules.
We have a standard. Is it 6 and 10, Greg?
Yeah, with tempering over 10.
Yeah, I know we try to do 7 degrees Fahrenheit, but
I mean, you get.
I'm less concerned about cold to hot than I would be hot to cold, but
it's
not perfect. I mean, it's not.
Well, that's the reservoir release. That's what I think. That's what Elise is really working on, is figuring out, okay, how do we get a cool water?
Well,
those are tributary releases.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reservoir release isn't even really an option, right?
I don't think so.
I don't like the option where Hoover
actually
is
actually getting into the North San Diego proper. They get into the Brighton Bush, but yeah, they can't get into the North San Diego this year.
Yes, they can.
The Brighton Bush at the Hot Springs when we released the other day was 55 and a half.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
we were 50 here in Minto.
Yeah.
It might be interesting to get these fish into the tributaries and not knowing where they're from and just see what the heck they do, you know, and if they really were from somewhere else, maybe they'll do something crazy, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they won't. I don't know.
So, more on that. Who is aware of the fact that in 2011 and 2012, only 150 and 250 spawning salmon were outlined above Detroit? Okay, this is the Minto years. We trapped a few fish at Bennett. We got our brood, but we did not get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish for outplanting. On the 2011 outplants of 150 fish, those are the parents of the four-year-olds coming back this year, five-year-olds coming back next year. 250 fish will be the parents of the four-year-olds that come back next year. And that's a small population.
So 150.
150 are going to be producing the four-year-olds coming back this year. Not 1,000.
Yeah.
A tenth of that. So the pedigree study was based on what we think is going to be our normal level of outplanting of hatchery, of numbers of fish, demographics. But our next 2 years are going to reflect what happened in the Bennett years when Minto was under construction. Sure. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's possible that productivity is enormous. I mean,
there's a chunk of fish down there now in between.
Yep. So wouldn't it be awesome if we can show that the productivity of those 150 spawners was fantastic, far, far above replacement, because that's, you know, there's not that many of them, but it's the low end of the spawner fruit curve. That'd be awesome.
I'll tell you what, we're having a tough year at Fall Creek right now, so I'm banking on that happening 4 years out for that group of fish.
Yes.
We're having a tough return.
Currently we're at about 18% non-marked at Minto, which is not as much as last year, but still a little higher than average. And we haven't seen a whole lot of fish yet, but...
What, there's 6,000 at Upper Bennett, or over Upper Bennett, something like that?
Those are clipped. We were sitting at
a bunch of fish.
Just under 800.
Sitting at just under 700.
800.
Well, yeah, hatchery fish.
Oh. All right. So,
let's see.
July meeting, soft plan, or before that?
Yeah, we're meeting on the 26th, so it should come back, come together fast. I don't know what the shape of the plan will be. It might be, you know, we should wait till next year.
Yeah.
It's a wretched year.
Complicates things. All right, we'll roll that over till next month. And then the last action item on here was alternative outplant strategies based on temp and flow. And Greg, I saw that you sent out the plans for the road.
I finally did.
Hey, Andy.
Yes, sir.
This is Brett over at Southenium.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Before we get off that last topic, I was just kind of wondering, we're quite a bit warmer, I think, like in the North Santiam, and I think we're going to start seeing those. We had to go from River Bend to Gordon Road, and like earlier in the morning now, those temps are like right around 60, but those are going to probably increase here as we go on and the water levels drop.
Right.
I was wondering if anybody talked to anybody about the possibility of holding those fish like overnight, and then especially if we have a longer day at the trap and couldn't get out those fish out until the afternoon, if we could hold those fish overnight and then haul them the following morning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good idea, Brett. I mean, at Fall Creek, that's how we cheat the system there, is by getting the fish out early. And you wouldn't be able to do that because you got too many fish to work through. But if you held that, I think that would solve that problem.
Okay. Yeah, because they're really in a good situation, those short-term ponds. They're really low density, high flows, water's cold. So, you know, definitely not going to hurt them to hold them overnight.
Well, that's why they were built, too, for things like that, or doing something smart.
Because you guys are starting at 8, and then by the time you're done working through the trap, what time is it? Noon?
It just depends on the, you know, like the last couple times you had like 250 to 300 fish, so we're usually done about 10.
Okay.
So by the time you get up there, you know, it's 10:45, 11, but, you know, you get those 500 fish days where you work until noon, then you're up there around 1 o'clock.
Right.
And it's, you know, how that is up there, it's such a... There's a pretty good distance from the river to where the truck's parked up above. It'd be really hard to set up any sort of pump or something to get water to temper those fish.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like a great idea. So suggest it to Elise and make sure that's okay with her. Shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Probably nice to have Lance's input on that too, just so he's aware.
That's right, Lance.
Inform.
After the fact.
Well, it'd be in the notes.
Yeah.
Make a special note of.
I can't imagine him having a problem with that.
No.
Do you want me to just shoot Lance an email and ask him? Or is that something you want to do?
I don't know. Either way is probably fine.
Just shoot an email at Elise and Lance together, just because you're seeking advice or just tell them. The hazard management team discussed this and uniformly thought this is a really good idea given the unusual circumstances.
Yeah. Sounds perfect. Okay. So back to the road plan. Thanks for doing that, Greg.
Yeah. We didn't do anything with it, but it's out there, so you can look at it.
I think it would be good to spend some time. I need to spend some time working through it and kind of
figure out what's going on there. Eventually, it'd be nice to try to take what we can from that situation, that scenario, and adapt it to the Willamette.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the best vehicle is for doing that kind of thing, but...
Yeah, you're right, because it's one of these multi-tech team boundary things.
A work group, or a team subcommittee, or whatever.
It's got flow issues, it's got fish passage issues, it's got... Which is why we should combine some of these groups, but anyway. I don't either, but we certainly could. We need to talk to some folks about what that might look like, and probably Mary Karen would be a good place to start, and just say if we were going to do this, how might it look in some of these years? You know, what would we do? You know, would we be looking at a temperature target like they do in the Rogue, and then using flow volume to sort of shape that? What kind of bounds would we put on it? When would we target it? Be different than just kind of letting a bunch of water out and hoping it does good things for fish.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a research component that monitor the effects of that? 25 years, core funded. ODFW implemented. Mm-hmm. Written up in a summary report. Mm-hmm. And then used, you know, we've used it subsequent to that for, well, those summary reports were produced in 2000. And then it's been used in real time management ever since. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this year it was, you know, this was a tough year down there too. Luckily they had full pool, but it was still a challenge to get where we wanted to get.
Yeah. So I'll first off, I need to read that document that you sent, and then I'll talk to Mary Karen, follow you.
Okay.
And we can brainstorm at least initially how we think it might might work.
Okay. And then I think maybe after we brainstorm, bring it back to H&T, discuss with members here, and then also maybe we haven't combined everything by then, flow management at the same time.
Like a work group. We'll just form a work group if what Greg, myself, and Mary Karen do in terms of figuring out if how feasible it is. I honestly haven't even looked at it, and I don't know, haven't thought about it enough to know what it would look like on the Willamette with 13 projects.
Okay. So that was Jeff Ziller that just texted me. I don't know. He's asking if I'm on the HMT call, which means he must be trying to
call in.
Hey, Jeff, are you on the line?
Can you give me the number, Andy, that you're actually using? Because that...
Yeah, it's on the agenda that I sent out, and I know Jeff got it.
Maybe he's got the wrong one.
Yeah, conference line number is 888.
Lake, we were able to get the 10,000 rainbow into
621 hatchery fish, 621 hatchery fish, 129 non-marked fish. 29 of the non-marks went up to Horn Creek last week, put 100 over Minto. We outplanted 137 hatchery fish to the brightbush this week. That went well. We're able to go ahead and outplant in June, July, and August there. We got permission from their group to be able to bring them in. They just have certain days we can take fish in because of their activities. We were able to leave the pipe up all summer. We just had to take the top piece off, so that's going to be real helpful that we don't have to set that up and take it down every time.
Nice.
About 40 people at the first docking, and about 30 people at the second one. It went well. Water's 55 and a half. Obviously, the water's a little lower up there than last year, but the fish looked good going in. So. Summer steelhead, only 123 new fish. We've recycled 99 of them. We're just starting to see some of those recycles come back. Not a whole lot of fishermen fishing for the steelhead. The Chinook fishing's been so good. Most everybody's targeting those. That's about all I got.
And you said there was about 100 non-marked fish that you put above Minto?
Yep. 29 up in Horn Creek and exactly 100 over Minto. And
cool. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question about TDG above Minto? Because there's unlikely to be still. Is it true that there's unlikely to be TDG issues this time of year?
Once it starts raining, we'll have to spill.
Once it rains, it fills.
Yeah, so it'll fill, and then anything above what a turbine can handle will be spill.
Every single rainy wet season we see high TDG
just because we're forced to spill.
So November.
November and into spring.
What about conditions now? Are they pretty good? It's cold water.
In terms of TDG?
Yeah.
I would think it would be low, yeah.
Super low.
Usually when we're running the unit, they're near 100%, which is normal.
Yeah, it's 103 and it's been fairly steady all summer, or all spring.
Okay. Is that unusual? I mean, do you typically have some TDG issues during adult holding?
I don't know. Greg does. I mean, I don't think 103 is an issue.
No, a couple of times when they, you know, went up to 4,000 and 6,000 in the spring, it looked a little high up there, but we haven't had the problem here.
It usually dissipates before the facility. However, obviously the fish that are up in that stretch are getting hit with that high level of TDG.
Okay. Because we're investing quite a bit of time and effort into arranging for a on the water surveys coincident with UAV surveys, and I would like that to be normal conditions.
Is that your drone?
So nice.
We got David Hewlett is our in training now to be a certified UAV pilot, and Dan Avery is running the program for that. So I kind of like it not to be a weird year. I just want it to be just a normal year so we get...
Unless something breaks, I think it'll be fine except for the low water being unusual.
Because if that unit goes down, then we have to spill.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Greg.
Just the outplant sites, I met and talked with two Ferris.
Oh, yeah.
Ferris yesterday. I've got two more properties that they located on a map for me. Hopefully we'll get up there this afternoon. I think they'll work out, I hope.
Okay. Cool.
And so those would be instead of Tom's idea near Cooper's Bridge?
They're all on the table, but I think so. I just don't know whose road that is. Once we get into procurement and realty and all that, I'm not sure how complicated that'll get again.
It'll get really complicated. Mm-hmm. If we need an easement at any time period, it's going to be complicated.
still on?
Yep.
All right. Any updates from you? Any abnormal operations? Anything crazy?
Nothing too bad. No, just still seeing a few winners. Got 100, still low, really low, but only 129 winners. Still hauling them upstream. Summers. There's no summers this year. Not coming over the fall, so I don't know what's going on there. You've got a 329. And we're just keeping everything we can for brood. We've got 300 brood fish so far, but we're going to need another additional 700 fish for brood stock, so we'll just hope they're late. Sprayers, Chinook, we've got 3,912, 3,590 hatchery fish, 322 wild. All the wild fish are going upstream. The river bend site is no longer usable due to low water, so we moved upriver to Gordon Road, and we went up there and trucked out the site. We had a high water event, actually moved that pipe, it lifted it and set it on top of the rock next to it, which pointed the pipe right at some rocks below, so we were able to manipulate the pipe and get it back down to where it's supposed to be. So we'll have to try to get up there and secure that pipe before this next winter. The fish are still schooling. We've got a lot of fish still sitting below the dam. So we've been working with Fenton and also U of I. They're doing that experiment on different, running basically two different ladder or main entrance, ladder gate entrance openings, open and close basically, and recording a bunch of information for them. So really haven't seen any patterns yet, but we'll keep working with them. And then at the hatchery, we had our free fishing day event too. We had it over at Roy River Hatchery. That went well. Had 500 kids, so they all caught fish and had a good time. The fish on site are doing okay. The summer steelhead had a trick, so we treated them with formalin the other day at a reduced level, so we'll monitor them and maybe treat them at a 1 to 6,000 maybe later this week or early next week if they need it. And then we also started the R&E grant work at our adult holding pond, where we're filling up the upwell and installing an above-ground header pipe to help improve that site for rearing. So that's about what we've been doing.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Any questions on that?
Brett, Naomi and Reed will start on July 1st, Monday, July 1st.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, just got approval.
Okay, so, but then we'll still stick to the Tuesday, Friday crap, is
whatever, whatever works for you.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. McKenzie update. John?
Kurt, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, Kurt.
That's why you didn't email.
Hello. So, we've just been working fish the whole time, practically. So anyway, we've gotten 4,828 back so far that we've counted.
Holy shit.
Our mark rate's 98.5% marked fish. We've had 76 unmarked fish that have gone back to the McKenzie River. We have broodstock on hand for the outplanting above Cougar and Trail Bridge. We also have, well, broodstock is just outplants. But anyway, we have broodstock for our own egg takes also on hand, and we've got 400 fish in the trap today, so we're well over 5,000 now, and so far we've given 36,300 pounds to food chairs, tribal folks, so we've been really busy in that regard. Fish health is taking a turn for the worse just recently this week. We've got a couple ponds that have got furunculosis, so we've got Medicaid feed coming in tomorrow, and we'll get started with the feed treatment. Two out of our three ponds got the frunk, so we'll get that taken care of. We do start fin clipping next week, so we're hoping our remaining pond that is doing very well will continue that way so we can get that started. Other than that, just regular duties around the hatchery here. It's just been mostly adult-oriented all month. So that's what we've got. Oh, wait, we had one steelhead come in, by the way. Just one. I don't know why it came in, but it did.
Interesting.
So they had a bunch of adult fish trapped in an area of the Walterville Canal screening area, and they removed 80 to 100 fish and brought them over here to us, so we have those also as a collection.
So those fish that, sorry, don't know the geometry, did they go above Lieberg and then fall back?
No, they were in actually the Walterville Canal.
Okay.
Yes. They did a they do an annual maintenance on their equipment there at Walterville, and for some reason these fish backed up into an area out of the main stem. I think what happens is that they put all the flow back in the river, so it goes down to a through their what do they call those things? Their chevrons down into an area where it meets back to the main stem. There's a big hole there, the whole Chinook. I think those fishes dip right up in there, and then for some reason they drop back into the screening area. So they had, I haven't heard the total number yet. Like I said, I haven't been able to talk to Mike Hogan yet today, but I heard it was up to 100 fish that were in there, and they salvaged all those fish and brought them to us.
And they were all hatchery fish?
That I don't know. If there was any unmarked fish, they were just going to release them back into the river.
Okay.
And so I haven't heard of this. I wasn't here yesterday, so I didn't get the full word on what happened.
Mm-hmm. And no mortality? They all survived, as far as you know?
We had a couple. Yeah, there was two in the trap today that were dead, so.
I mean of the fish that were transferred from the Walterville incident.
That's what I mean. They were fish that came from those guys. Yeah, because we don't usually get any in our trap.
Gotcha. I'm sure that wasn't easy.
No.
Not Beth, and they went out in slings and who knows what else.
There's probably a rodeo going on down
there. Oh, it had to be.
Yeah. So, Kurt, Natalie and Kelsey Renee start with Hogensen on July 1st, running the video monitoring system. And theoretically, if the counts cooperate, they'll remove hatchery fish from the Lieberg trap and transport them back to your hatchery. As that's unlikely to actually occur, we're just prepared to do it that way in case it happens. If the chance comes up, we're going to do it. Okay. But they're on hand, and our thinking was that if things needed to happen at the hatchery, they'd be local and they'd be available to help. So, sorting through fish or whatever.
Yeah, we're definitely short-handed. We've got one guy retiring in 2 weeks. Another guy is out with back surgery. So we could use it. We'll probably take advantage of it.
Okay, good. So they start July 1st.
Okay.
All right.
All I got, guys.
Cool. Thanks, Kurt.
You bet.
All right, Greg. Cougar trap.
Quick update at Cougar. The unit has been down. We got the unit back up yesterday, which is great news. Finally, the fish facility we put in service today should be happening right now, and then we're planning to haul some fish starting on Thursday, and we will be implementing the 100% recycling downstream. Per talking with Jeff and everyone else. So we plan to release those fish at Forest Glen, and that's what we'll do. And if they come back, we'll take them up above the dam and release them. So, and they'll all be double flow tagged. That's what I'm planning, Cam, double flow tags.
Yeah, it worked pretty well last year. I thought a nice estimate of tag loss.
Okay. So that's Cougar. Still some details to be worked out there. We've got kind of a split between turbine unit and RO flow, so we still have some false attraction at the RO, but we're miles better off than we were 2 days ago. So, Fall Creek is disappointing so far. We're running about 235, something like that. And it's tailed off a bunch, so it seems to be pretty much over. We'll likely get another 25% just because that's typically what we see for the whole rest of the year. So there'll be another, I'm anticipating we'll be somewhere around 300 fish in the end. But that's lower than we've been for the last 4 or 5 years. And not surprising, though, when you go back and look at our juvenile counts. 2012 owl migrants. Horrible. I mean, just horrible. Horribly low. So I was hoping that little hole wouldn't ever manifest itself, but it appears to be here. So, anyway.
That's the 2012 owl migrants. We should be here. That your four-year-old fish?
Yeah.
Do you dominate fours or fives?
I don't remember. We dominate fours. So, we're, yeah, I think we're feeling that. It was literally our estimate that year for the out migrants and juveniles was between 2,000 and 3,000. So, which is orders of magnitude lower than what we have always seen. So, I don't know what happened in that particular year, but it was the same year that NOAA was there doing their survival studies, so it was kind of corroborated a couple different ways because they had radio tagged fish in the system, and so we knew it was probably a good number, a real number, and it seems to be manifesting itself. So anyway, there's nothing we can do about that. We're going to pass the fish and hope they do well, and I hope there's a few reds up there this year. We'll see.
None of us are really that confident that we're going to have very successful.
I know. So throw in a low number and a really tough environmental year on top of it, and it's going to be ugly. All right. It's going to rain all July and August, though.
Good.
You never know.
Good snow.
Chances are about this big.
Snow.
I've snowed once in June. I remember.
And then we're moving a fish at Dexter today. We've been doing that on Wednesdays, and we'll continue to do that. So, and they're a washing fish. They got a bunch of them. So it's easy pickings.
How's ready is McKenzie?
They're going to double McKenzie in the end, I bet.
They've been open 2 weeks. So that's tough.
They opened it the week of May 18th. So, yeah, 3 days.
Well, that.
Yeah, collecting.
That, Tim's been shutting it down. I mean, yeah. Open. He opens it for as long as he can stomach watching how many fish come in. And then he's like, shut.
At least they got a way to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And all
yeah.
That. So.
Cool. They've been processing a bunch of fish down there.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
So, wait for me. For Dan Peck's update.
Yeah.
This is Dan Peck's update.
Oh, Dan?
Now it's
he's not on. He sent me his notes. So I know that the number is, as of yesterday, was 3,570 fish.
Okay.
But he had the buyer in. So they're actively selling fish. He's got about half his broodstock collected. And they're doing pretty good, but the water temperature, I think, was up to 60 degrees. And that's early.
It's early and alarming.
And they're marking fish. And so the fish haven't been stressing too much, the juveniles that they're marking. But they're using auto trailers, which are the low-stress trailers. And then they go to hand marking here next week. And the temperature will probably be going up anyway. So they'll probably... Undoubtedly, they'll have some disease issues and some more losses. It'll be more complicated. But
I'm really worried about this fall. It's going to be hot. It's going to be one of the hotter ones we've probably ever seen down there. So.
They're putting the fish back into Dexter. It'd be nice if they put them someplace besides Dexter, because Dexter is going to be really iffy conditions.
It is going to be, for juveniles down there that he's holding on site, it's going to be tough.
This relates both to the environment and to the...
You throw the environment in there, and then what we know from other low water years like 2001, when we have that reduced volume of cold water that's available to us, that fall turnover, we see that much higher spikes than we typically would. And so it's, and to keep in mind that we weren't able to do the spill operation. So the warm water that we have been extracting over the last few years, that's all just sitting there building up. And so I anticipate we may see something. We're certainly going to be over mid-60s. I'm guessing we're going to be more like high 60s.
Yeah.
In the fall.
So in an earlier conversation, we would thought about pre-ordering some medicated feed because there was high certainty you would have it, so there'd be no lag between getting medicated feed, but where do we end on that? You know, we have some on hand.
We've talked about it. That's that was part of that budget increase for feed, but money's going to be the crunch as usual. So, but yeah, I think they're preparing for the worst. Some of that stuff you can't do, but we will be prepared. We're anticipating that Columnaris will be a hot item down there.
I just wanted to be ensured that there wasn't going to be a week long delay because we had to order feed, since we almost certainly need it.
Yeah.
At least have some. It's ready to go.
The warm water's coming, whatever that means for disease. The warm water is coming. It will be there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. But it's just the year we're having.
As long as it's in the high 60s and not the mid 70s. There's a critical factor there.
Yeah, I understand.
I've watched that before.
It's a bass hatchery.
When you get 71 degrees, everybody's cool. At 72, they're all upside down. There's no place to get cool water.
Right. I mean, no, there will literally be no place to get it.
There's no mitigation for this. I don't know.
It'll be coming from the lowest point of lookout at that point, and there won't be a darn thing that can be done.
So, power plants, do you report?
No.
So, there's been 3, I think, weeks of 100 fish on the planet.
Seems like it.
Before. Yeah, 3. I only think that there's been one release of unclipped fish in Little Fall Creek.
That's what I have for the month of May.
One.
I'm not sure what June.
I don't think another one.
I think there's been some small. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's been going on with the trailers. People are losing steam on that one, I think. They have the trailer, and we're constantly tending it for them. But I think people are sort of losing steam because nobody was showing up today, as far as I know.
Okay.
Do you have Jeff got the fish truck up there to move his steelhead yet?
No idea.
Because it should be the Marion Forks stocking last weekend should be the last time they need that truck. You know, Marion Forks, and then to be able to move those steelhead downstream.
Okay.
And go to the ramp or Bingra. You know, stop feeding the people at the pit.
The tubes.
Yeah.
So far, John, they've been using a portable.
Oh, okay. So they did get one then.
Yeah, they've been using a portable and kind of McKenzie and Lever kind of on backup in case they have some larger numbers of fish.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, Chris ought to be done with that bigger truck if we just find somebody with a CDL to drive it.
If it's the core portable, it's, boy, has mega limitations there because it's only 300 gallons. So
20 fish max.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You're not going to get 20 fish in one day. 20 unclipped fish in one day at Dexter, that would be a third of the total run.
Right.
Typical.
Yeah, and then the steelhead too.
This is the summer steelhead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The issue they've been releasing out that tube. Everybody sits on the end of the tube and grabs fish. And the goal, Jeff wanted to have those fish moved downstream and released in the river so they could escape the people perched over the pipe.
Pulling them out as they're anesthetized.
They're still pretty stunned, but sure. they're not awake when they swim through there.
Jeff, are you online?
I sent him the call-in stuff because he texted me like he was having a hard time getting on.
Well, the only point I wanted to bring up about the outplanting was that I put together an outplanting schedule to capture outplants to the North Fork, Middle Fork, and coincident outplants to above Hills Creek, and we're 2 weeks behind on the Hills Creek outplants. Dan doesn't think we're going to be getting any fish above Hills Creek until probably next week. And so we're off schedule on that. I don't know quite what that means, but maybe it's better to get them up there later.
He told me this morning that he thought they were going to go in on Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Yeah, collecting some more fish. I think they were out planting, but I'm not sure of that.
That makes sense because for some reason he does not want to outplant using our truck to Hills Creek on the same day he's outplanting using your guys' truck to the North Fork, Middle Fork, and I didn't understand that. I did talk to him. I mean, there's like a 2.5 hour wait between loading
right.
your first load and your second load.
Right.
Why can't we use that 2.5 hours to load a second truck to go to Hills Creek? And there might be a scheduling issue, but
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. What the, I mean, I know it's kind of a rodeo down there, just in general, so I don't know. I don't know. There's some other limitation.
Megan Horn, Brian, I'll tell Dan in the email that she'll be starting working with Mike Sinnott at the Dexter Rodeo starting July 1st.
It's fun down there. I miss the old Gary Yeager and Dan Peck days. It's fun down there.
Let's just wait until we get a new facility. And it's about 2 feet wide instead of 20 feet wide. But so hopefully they'll design a little better sorting table when the time comes. But okay. Lieberg?
Yes.
Okay. Eric thought that his numbers of spring shoot up were substantially higher than most years. That even though we're collecting fish at McKenzie and being, you know, effective, it must be a really good run up in there because he's got. What'd you say, Kurt? Are you still on?
Yeah, he's already brought us 40, and he thought they had maybe up to 25 in the trap today.
More. Okay. Yeah, my number said 35, and but. It's just, you would have thought that if the McKenzie trap worked really well, they would vacuum all of them off, and yet there's still a bunch of them going by.
Still about 30% of them going by at labor that are
20, come on.
28%.
Hang on!
Don't ask me why I'm looking. I had to go speak to the fly fishers on Monday night. So I had the number in my head, trust me.
It was 0.28, isn't it?
Times 100. Yeah.
I didn't bring my phone or calculator. I'm not doing this in my head. 1149,
465 added together. 465 over that total is 0.28. Right. I did it 2 nights ago.
So it's not too good.
So far, I think the McKenzie trap is still getting 95% plus of these things. You know, so
it's just a strong return.
Yeah,
you know, it's a strong hatchery return.
Okay. Too bad it was a strong wild return.
Exactly.
Would help to you know to balance things out a little bit. So.
Yep.
But then.
Well, this is June 11th, and 465 unmarked fish.
No, 465 hatchery fish.
1149 unmarked fish have gone through Lieberg.
Yeah.
Typically, we'd see about half the upstream migration by this point. So we might be able to double that. It could be 2,000 wild fish going up there.
The thing that worries me is we typically start seeing our hatchery fish are going to come on stronger and stronger probably as the year.
Yeah. But we have the tools in place to pluck them out of there, right?
There you go.
That's right. The end.
We hope. Yeah, that's about it. He's just saying it hasn't seen many summer steelhead yet, but a lot of people haven't seen summer steelhead yet.
Okay.
So
anyway, this 1149, that's not a total run size last year.
No, I know. That's so
early. We're halfway or so through the upstream migration. We're going to get a bunch more, so we will almost certainly be well beyond what we saw in 2013 and 2014. And that's a good thing.
That is good. That's absolutely good.
The existing mark rate at Lieberg at 28%, 20-something percent, that generally goes down because fish fall back. Right? At the same time, we typically see about 5% of these unmarked fish are actually hatchery origin fish. So, say 15% of the fish, the hatchery fish that went up fall back because they realize they're lost, but then 5% of the unmarked fish get reassigned. You still end up with a PHOS that is going to be approaching teens. It'll be in the teens, most likely. That'd be my guess. And that's three times better than what we had last year and twice as good as what we had the year before. So, I'm feeling pretty
You're well. Feeling good? All right.
Dan's you are optimistic.
I don't agree that it's great. I know the these numbers should be 3,000, 5,000, 7,000. But the conversations we've had that there's been a precipitous decline in natural fish abundance in the Mackenzie because of those two low years, 2013 and 2014, that's not, does not appear to be holding up this year.
I hope not. And I hope, yeah, I'm glad Kurt's catching a lot of fish this year. That's encouraging as well. So. Yeah. The more the merrier. The more we can get to the hatchery, the better off we're all going to be.
I think this is the last year of 1+ million returns from 1+ million fish.
The 5-year-olds are the last of the big release, aren't they, Kurt?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So it's should be dropping.
So the next brood is going to be coming back from.
Well, the 4-year-olds this year are coming back from the lower release. So next year there shouldn't be any from the big release here.
Right.
So it's, you just see it tip down.
Better.
Help to see them tip down.
That's what we told the judges. Worked.
Yeah. Has to work.
It's got to work.
And some people are catching fish on the coast, working around. I sent a guy down there. A guy I work out with lives down in Crestwell. He'd gone up to Mackenzie 5 times and hadn't had any luck. I said, you know there's some fish right in your own backyard? He said, no. And so I sent him down to the Rao River, and he is a happy as can be. He's catching them every time he's going down there now.
Awesome. Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Cool.
And multiple fish on.
So those are 4s and 5s coming back.
Well.
So they're pumped, and there's some people in on that. They're getting it. So some fish are getting utilized, which is good. They're not just not being utilized down there, which is encouraging because that's the last thing anybody wants. So. Yeah.
Nice. Great. Anything else for Lieber?
No.
Okay. All right. I had on there fish counts with Bennett and Lieber. Simmons still doing the.
Yep. You have to tell me what you prefer.
Ones.
I can give you that easily. It's online. You can get it about the same time. Offline.
Yeah,
online.
That was fine.
I can just I have the detailed one that's got daily counts that broke with all the different species and everything. It's just more work for you to pick that apart.
Yeah.
So, but it is entirely up to you. I can give you both if you have
that one. That one for May. I think I would prefer the more detailed one.
Then okay.
If the information exists, then yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it in there. Do you want me to just send you a reminder?
No, I'll just
beginning of the month or.
What? Okay. Do that. Yeah.
That's what I do with a lot of the hatchery managers anyways. Okay.
Bennett. Okay, I'm tracking Bennett every week. And I don't have a projector here, but in 2015, it does appear that counts of fish started earlier than in any other year of record from 2011. So here, if you can just look at this right here is 2015, and it started earlier than it ever did before. And I don't know if it's tipping over now, because it sort of looks like it might be tipping over a little bit here. From there to there, it's not as steep. And we've had two other instances in 2012 and 2013 where it kind of topped out like that at low numbers, about 1,000. But it could also continue up and get up into the 1,700 fish, which is kind of what a lot of the modeling we did to think about what we were going to do was based on an average of 1,200 and 1,700 fish. A couple of good years where we had counts. Since we took that average, and that was what we based our Minto outland modeling on, was an average of 1,400. Things change if it peaks out at 800 fish. Everything changes. So, sorry, we had to use historical data. The historical data suggested an average of about 1,400 will come back. 800 is less than that. So I think we'll know in the next couple of weeks whether that's topping over or if it's continuing.
which is the upstream migrant Chinook, wild Chinook, unclipped Chinook. And the shape of this curve, I don't know what it's going to do. It can, based on these 2 years, it could tip over now, and we'd end up at a run size of 800 fish. Well, based on these 2 years, it could, most recent years, it could continue up, 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 and then tip over later, up into the 1400 to 1700 range.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Hopefully it's higher.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right, so that's it for updates. One of the topics we had on here was the disposition of Edowars and North Sandingham, which we've already covered a little bit. We know what's happening if there's anything else to discuss there. I'm glad to hear that there's some other options for outlining up there.
Okay. It's funny good because it was so frustrating. Tom left the office to go by himself, to go find an outlet site. He found one.
Did it.
And then Greg goes out and finds two more. This has been 10 years, 15 years. I mean, it's been forever, but people have been looking. With.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pressure's
like out. I said, Tom's isn't horrible, but I think we got better off.
Yeah. Is Tom's one that we can use now?
No.
Like we go tomorrow and put it in a pipe?
No, we'd have to do a little trimming, tree trimming.
Manage it.
We have to find the landowner to get permission.
Oh, okay. It's almost 11.
I don't know what land it sits on.
Okay. Cool. All right. We'll have more on that when time comes. And then Cougar Trap Office, but kind of discuss that. It sounds like we don't really have players in the room to continue any further discussion, but Greg did say that we're going to proceed with the 100% recycling protocol.
Yeah, we're doing what ODFW suggested.
Right, so unless there's anything else on that, that's all we've got for today.
Cool, sure. Cool.
Yeah,
not early,
real quick.
Real early.
Anything else, guys?
So for some of the core folks, if they want to get in, Greg Barrowcliffe's going to have a meeting here in about 20 minutes to talk about the Cougar units.
Oh, nice.
You want to get in on that?
That'd be great. Anything else for folks on the phone?